Karibu AMG Realtors. We have specialized in selling of land across the country in areas like Nanyuki, Naivasha, Nakuru, Juja, Kagunda Road, Malindi, and the Abadeas. Contact us today for land investment solutions and have your title deed delivered within 60 days upon completion of payment. SMS AMG to 40299 or call us on +254 748 229 941. AMG Realtors. We don't just deal in land, we deal in value.
Thank you so much, Vinny, for being here on the We Don't Play podcast show today. How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm awesome. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. You know, time is definitely flying and so much is happening. But, you know, we have to keep track. We have to keep up so that we're not, you know, out of line, you know, out of pocket.
I know. The orbits seem to go faster and faster for some reason. The days go quicker and quicker when you're having fun. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
It is. You can be waking up at 5 a.m. before you know it is 5 p.m. You're like, what happened?
Yeah, it's time to wake up earlier. Not enough time.
Right. Wow. Tell us more about you, Vinny. Like, what do you do? Because I know a lot of people have read the title, but they want to definitely hear it from you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have fun. I help people create. I've been doing that for a really long time. In the late 90s, I was hired by MTV to help them create the talent development department, and I got to launch a department with a very wise man, Rod Asa, who's currently still the head of programming at NBC and Unscripted, and just learned how to tell stories. We figured out how to tell stories, how to change lives, how to share that with people, to not only use media as a way to, you know, to change your life, but to change the perception of your life, which is reality, you know? So we got to change reality and we got to change your life with reality TV. And that was awesome. Up until digital media, like, it was very lonely, you know, industry. You know, there's a couple of thousand people working in it in total. It's so cool now with the iPhone and social media, podcasts and digital content, digital streaming. It's so cool how many more people I qualify to work with now than I did 20 years ago. It's so cool. The entire creative force is just so different now. It's like the neatest thing. It's cool to be part of an industry that's had such a gigantic change, and the creative industry has had a gigantic change for sure, especially, you know, these last few years.
Exactly. No, you're right, because one of the things that strikes me is awareness discovered. Like, when you think about it, back in the day, like, Justin Bieber would get discovered on YouTube, Ed Sheeran would get discovered as well, you know, a song would blow up from nowhere, Gangnam Style becomes the talk of the town for a year. You know, getting discovered online is different from getting discovered on TV. So how is that playing a role? Do people still get discovered on TV, on, you know, pop idols or American idols? Like, what is that difference, that major different distinction between online discovery and just traditional ways of doing things?
Yeah, I think that it's the action of sharing. Discovering on television, you know, people got discovered on television in a couple of ways. One, a lot of it through advertising. Mm-hmm. So I think when we think of, like, discovery stories, mm-hmm. we think of, like, commercials as being as much of an integral part to television as the TV shows themselves, because we know that advertising exists, right? So, but television in general is like the sort of the public sector of the advertising energy anyway. So it's like all about, you know, it's all. I think that it's about standing out repetitively, knowing where to be found. That, you know, when you think about television and TV guide and, like, coming up with a TV show, and so much of it was about, like, getting the show discovered or getting the character discovered. And I think that conversation, which feels like a TV conversation, is not the same conversation you're gonna have digitally, because the platform is so much bigger. it's not about finding characters digitally. It's about finding them and sharing them with your audience. It's about creating an audience around them in a unique way that television sort of didn't let you do that. And I think that with digital, you know, it's interesting. If you think about stars right now, celebrities, reality stars right now, celebrities on television, not like actors and film, like people who have like, who are in films and sort of scripted things, but just people who are known for being themselves. The TV stars, the people who have shows on TV networks, in my opinion, are far more famous than the people whose reality shows live on a platform like Netflix, for example. A gigantic platform and global for sure, but the algorithm does something that distorts time and a journey and the power of one person, one piece of content, one you know, form of anything can have such power. I just think that's so powerful, you know, when you think of what's out there, the audience that's demanding the content, and you who's out there creating it. And how you create content and how you wave that flag, you know, is just as important as the type of flag that it is. You know, they're right, because we're seeing more than just the flag being waved. We're seeing a person holding the flag. You know, there's so many other signals that we're not picking up on that we once didn't. So it's a process, but you know, that's where consistency is king, to be really honest. The one thing that is consistent, I hate to use the word consistent, but the one thing that is true about being discovered on television or being discovered digitally, consistency is key. Consistently posting, consistently on the platform, consistently growing or evolving, adding to the conversation. I just think consistency is a big part of it.
Yeah, I love what you said about reality TV shows, and it's literally reality TV, not reality Netflix. So it plays a role in how it's been grounded and how people discover platforms. Like, yeah, we watch cable, but is it on? Do people watch it these days? Or we just watch it because we need something on the TV to be playing, you know? So those are things that people think about. And that passing time, we don't know if those are active viewers or viewers that are just passing by, or it's just on because there's a guest in the house, you know, like you don't know what's really going on. But with Netflix, you said it's better to be on a cable platform or cable TV and do what you're doing and get discovered than being on Netflix, where you can be swiping for 30 minutes and not get a show.
You know, the real estate is just so valuable on Netflix, but the block is actually really tiny. Meaning that, I don't want to distract or discourage anybody from trying to get a project on Netflix. But what I wouldn't do is create a project and say, I can't wait to get this on Netflix. Because just being on Netflix is not going to give you the audience that you're looking for. Just by being on the Netflix platform isn't going to give you the audience that that you need, unless you're, you know, paying to play, or if your original programming, you know, by the platform, so the platform's invested in making sure that everyone sees it. You know, look at some of the biggest hits that Netflix has had, and we talk about just, you know, total saturation of market. And we know Bridgerton, for example, you know, that it's like the most watched, you know, series. And I mean, Netflix controls every single inch, every dot that you see on that screen, from the second you log in, it's up to them to make sure that, you know, it's different, the digital world, different than, you know, the television world, where there's more of an earned reach. And also, when you think of reality shows, when you think of reality shows and TV networks, like there's like a genre that those TV networks will fall into, you know? You'll think, you know, if I said it's a reality show about business owners on Bravo, you would have an idea that's different than if I said it's a reality show about business owners on VH1. Right. You're like, really? Who do they pull together? What 90 stars are running? You know, there's like, you know, there's brand. If you think of reality on Netflix, I mean, if you think of Netflix, you don't really think of reality. looking at programming.
That's true.
And you need time. You need time. Time is something that, you know, you could be on Netflix and you can be in the algorithm, or you can be in the programming slot and you can be pushed in front of hundreds and thousands of people. And when that goes away, it's up for you to do more projects and to find more audiences. And those platforms are going to have a more and more difficult time growing those projects and those audiences. Look, sort of like how Disney, I'm sort of almost describing exactly like what Disney is going through. Mm. It's crazy to think of Disney and Oprah, these gigantic film properties, these gigantic media companies. And I see so many similarities between them and just us, us regular creators. We have podcasts, we have social media accounts, we have businesses that use podcasts and social media accounts to communicate and the content that we own by using those platforms. And that's the part that I get excited about now. That's the part that I like helping people as creators find success in early in the process. Winning awards. I love helping people win awards. I have an award winning library. Like, I won awards and I did it by like applying. And I did a lot of research to figure out what awards were out there that I even qualified for. What marketing awards, video awards, TV awards, audio first awards. Like so many awesome ways to be celebrated that I wasn't even aware of. That, you know, now that I'm aware of, I love sharing that information.
Yeah. Thank you for highlighting
that.
It's
important.
And also congratulations, that's a huge achievement.
It's a great group win. The coolest thing about content too is like most of the awards you're winning nowadays are not by yourself. So like I'm down to win awards with the group. I mean, not much, there's lots of ways to communicate. There's lots of ways to collaborate. And when you work on a series and you know that you want to apply for awards, as a group, it just makes you all work harder for the project itself, for the purpose itself, for the cause itself. It just becomes so much bigger.
That's true.
Hard. It's hard sometimes to say I want to work on a project to win an award. I'm not saying that I'm doing it for the satisfaction of winning the award. There's no satisfaction for me in winning an award. There's satisfaction in the amplification I get from winning an award.
Right.
There's satisfaction in the additional distribution or sponsorship I might get now because of the award. Or I've been in TV for 25 years, but up until last year, I was not an Emmy award winning TV producer. And that changes, you know, the conversation, regardless of if I'm the dude who cast TRL in the late 90s and, you know, was there on like, you know, the original, I cast the house on the challenge. I work on the real world. Like, that's like the OG reality stuff right there, I feel like. But those awards certainly help translate my success into a currency that people outside of TV can understand.
Exactly.
So that's why awards are important. And I like helping people learn that. So by the way, if anyone's listening to this and you want this document, come vpe.tv. So come to my website and it's in my Creator Accelerator, which is free and open. So I can't wait to have you there.
Yeah.
But that's something I'm passionate about sharing.
Definitely. And that will also be available in the show notes so that anybody wants to tap in, definitely feel free.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really passionate about it. And it's pretty easy to download. And you'd be amazed at what's out there that you didn't even know you qualified for. And I even give you a little bit of a free strategy as to like how to pick the categories and ways to stand out.
Nice.
In the consideration process, because you sort of have to ask for consideration. And then upon consideration, if nominated, then it's all about winning and then leveraging that win. Right? It's all about how are you going, now what? How does it impact your SEO? How does that impact what Amazon knows about you? I mean, you'd be amazed at what you could tell Amazon about you creatively, especially because of IMDb, which is owned by Amazon. So there's a lot of data points that are to be won by being, you know, successful.
That is huge. I feel like a lot of people are like, because they're like, okay, how do you get considered? How do you get nominated? If you win, what happens after the award? Like, does your prize go up? Do you end up doing more endorsement deals? Do you extend your contract? Like, there's so many things that happen. It's not just, oh, we won an award. it's like there's so many layers to uncover.
Yeah. And all the answer is yes to everything you said, right? Yes, the price goes up. Yes, there's more that goes on. Yes, it makes you challenge yourself to be better. By the way, that's the best part, is like now to win it again, you got to do more than what you did last time. That's cool. We got a group of people that have done it. So now,
right.
For people who are listening, the awards that I have here, I have a Silver Communicator Award. I have a Gold W3 Award, and I have a regional Emmy that I won. The W3 and the Communicator Award, you pay a fee for, and you're almost you're judged. Your body of work is judged against the standard, meaning it's not like there's a top five and then there's another vote and then people vote for, you know, the one specific winner. So I'm a fan of these categorical awards that allow me to go up against myself in the category. So like we're all being judged by the same standard as opposed to against each other. The Emmy is against each other. The Emmy is, we all submitted, it got down to five and then there was, you know, a winner and people voted and that was it. And, the difference actually is with the Emmy, you don't have, so with the W3 and the Communicator Awards, you then, if you win, they then let you purchase a trophy. And it's about like $200, $250 to be honest. But what's the cost of having it, you know, to the right of my shoulder, letting you know how proud I am to work on those podcasts that won those awards, not mine, by the way.
Wow.
And then the Emmy, you get the Emmy, they give it to you if you win it, but then they take it away from you at the very end.
Huh? I didn't know that.
When all is said and done, you got to return it back to the library, they say. So it's not technically my property.
That
so I didn't have to buy that one.
Terrible. I did not know that. I thought they write your name in the, like they engrave your name in the print on the, oh wow, I'm shocked.
They do, but it still is their property. Like I don't have to purchase that one and it comes. And then by the way, winning these awards, the thing I do, the number one thing to do, I'll just give it up. Can I just share it here?
Yeah.
My number one trick is IMDb. So you do not need to have an IMDb Pro account to be on IMDb. To be on IMDb, you have to appear in a body of work that has already aired that qualifies to be on IMDb. So if you want your name on IMDb, then you have to be a guest on someone's podcast who's currently getting credit on IMDb. So podcast is one of the rare digital forms of video media that IMDb qualifies to be on IMDb. IMDb, by the way, the Internet Movie Database, it's kind of like where you go to find movies, actors, you want to know who the crew is. And for the longest time, it's been TV and film, that's it. Some independent film too. But now they allow us to have podcasts, which means podcasters like us can upload our podcasts. And now we get credit for being writers, directors, personalities in our own projects. Plus all of our guests get connected to us on IMDb, which means that on our guest page, our podcast is there. Mm. Any awards that we win, we're able to tie in. If we have a production company, because we produce podcasts, we put that information in there. Taglines completely change the way people find me on Google. The tagline power, that telling IMDb what your podcast is about and what each episode is about and how you want to be discovered, there's no better trick right now for me than by adding your podcast to IMDb to get credit, especially if you have won a couple of awards and can put those data points in together. It'll change your Google search results. It'll change your Google images. You got pictures of like an ex or somebody that you got that you can't seem to like wash off your first Google page, you know? You're allowed to upload an infinite amount of photos and videos that support your podcast. So like,
wow.
If you are a podcaster, please consider taking the credit that you worked so hard that you deserve, to be really honest. And getting your podcast on IMDb, because it is a It is where creatives know to go to search for experts like you. I'll leave it at that.
That's deep. You know what you've just given me? I had a light bulb as you were speaking. And I was like, so does it mean that if you have a podcast and you put your podcast on IMDb, all you need to do is just put in the RSS feed and then you have all access to it? Or do you have to submit all the links and different platforms you're available on for you to get discovered on IMDb?
Oh, that's a great question. So you can't upload your RSS link to LinkedIn. You can't upload your RSS link to IMDb. The way that we can now do it on Facebook pages, right, like right. If you have a Facebook business page, you can do an RSS link. LinkedIn allows you now to upload an RSS link. I know that Twitter is soon to launch like a podcast tab for your social media accounts that allows you to upload your RSS link. What IMDb does is it's more of a Wikipedia of the people who work on your podcast. So as opposed to listening to your podcast, I'm able to discover what editors you've had on it. Is there any music on it? Do you have any publishers that you want to mention in here? Anyone who is a writer for you, maybe, or again, as I mentioned, editor, video editors, or audio editors.
Right.
So it's a great place to give credit. And you do have to upload. You do have to have existing creative that's out in the space. Like, it's not about I plan on releasing it and then I go and I upload it. You have to have information that's out there, and then you go and you upload the information one by one. By the way, I have a URL for this if I can share it. It's audiolinked.com. We'll put this in the show notes too, but audiolinked.com. So audiolinked.com, and Ben Currier and I put this together. It's literally a walkthrough, a step-by-step walkthrough of everything you need to do to be able to get your podcast on IMDb. And that's audiolinked.com.
That's amazing. You have dropped gems on gems on gems. I'm sure they're like, wow, we did not prepare for this episode.
good. Then we'll have to stop here and we'll come back and sugar load them with more information. I'm so passionate about getting this information out there.
Yeah.
And especially, by the way, because you say I'm giving up too much information, then I feel called to want to go crazy and go give more.
No, that's
my
what
favorite,
they say
like,
about
tell
me.
Tell people is vpe.tv/Apple promo. And if you're looking to get your podcast featured on Apple Podcasts, featured podcasts on Apple Podcasts, then they actually have an Airtable set up for us to be able to submit. And if you are interested in being featured, then go to vpe.tv/Apple promo. It's just a URL that will redirect you to their actual page. So you're not going to my form to fill this out. This is their form. But it's just something that I love sharing because it's not a link that a lot of independent podcasters are aware of or have access to. So that's me.
That is
quick,
so
quick
good.
To tell secrets, quick to tell industry secrets as quickly as I can.
No, that is huge. I really appreciate that because this is really where you get to see all the things that you want, especially under one roof. Because sometimes you're wondering, how do you get featured? How do you get this? And the information is right there. How do I win awards? How do I get listed? How do I get drafted? It's all there. It's just that people don't know how to look for it. You know, Forbes 30 under 30, yeah. I got to recently know the other day that you can sign up, you know, before the deadline, but people don't know that because I think, oh, it's like a mighty hand is just gonna pick you up from the ground. Like, we have to be realistic sometimes and just think about where we stand, what our value is, connect with people like you, you know, listen to podcasts like this where you get information that is free, because what you do with that information is totally up to you. We can give it, but you can listen and just skip, or listen and actually apply. And that all boils down to you at the end of the day. So I really appreciate you for bringing that to the table today.
Yeah, of course. I launched the Creator Accelerator, and this is like where I have like every URL that I use, every trick that I use to amplify blogs, to amplify podcast episodes, Everything that I use in my agency to be successful with everyone else's podcasts, including my own, I learned it. Someone taught it to me. So I don't feel like, you know, I have any right to hold it in and not share it. And to be honest, if you're finding this podcast, if you're listening this deep in, I really appreciate the energy that people are putting into listening to podcasts and taking action. And like, I want to be part of that. So that's why I get to be a guest. And that's why I have a podcast, so I can have guests. Because this is a big, big energy that's coming out of podcasting. And just the future, everything is right here. So I know, and there's a lot of information out there. So if I can be a source of information, of vetted information, and I don't talk about anything I haven't used myself, anything I haven't won or lost at, you know, using, I'm very transparent about all that. So I'm very lucky to have failed with big company money, and I'm lucky to have won with big company money. So I know what, you know, what both sides look like.
Yeah. They say experience is the best teacher.
It sure is. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to, like, you know, experience burning your hand on the stove to know that the stove's hot. Well, if your goal is to figure out if the stove is hot or not, then that's a different conversation.
Exactly.
My goal is dinner. My goal is not to see if the stove is hot or not.
Exactly. Get to the results, not to the process.
Yeah, exactly. And look, and I say that lovingly, because I have been such a victim of analysis paralysis and just getting, like, I would say stuck and awestruck at the possibilities that things, of ways things can happen, meaning of ways to share videos or content or grow relationships or convert, whatever conversions, you know, sort of look like. The day is long, and there are sort of countless ways to sort of maneuver. I think for me, the reason why I love handing out information is I've kind of been doing this for a long time. You know what my results are, and if I can help you find information quicker and put it into use quicker and find a way for you to figure out if this is a tool or a platform that you should or shouldn't be spending time on, like, that's the best type of experience for me. Yeah. Helping people learn tools and craft their skills using new platforms, to me, mm-hmm. that's the coolest job in the entire world. And I come at it from a creative perspective. I'm not a marketing executive, I'm not an advertising executive. I'm learning with marketing and I'm learning with advertising, but my goal is to earn trust, to earn reach with great creative. And it's cool that need is universal in both marketing, advertising, even the public sector of media.
Oh yeah.
So, like, very happy to have the training that I have. And now, because of iPhones and who identifies as being a creator, and now I get to have, like, the coolest clients, because there are so many different types of creators out there. For a long time, it was just, like, you know, personalities, people who wanted to be famous, experts. Now it's CEOs and founders and just public advocates, people who stand for a cause. And that's awesome that a dude like me, little Vinny from Staten Island, who had this idea to be, like, in reality TV and work with people to develop their talents, you know, gets to work with such a huge diversity of people. I love it. It's so cool.
That's amazing. I really appreciate that. We're going to ask one more question, which is it's not like a trivia, but it's like a pop style question. You know, okay. You kind of said it before, but we want to make sure that we heard it, or maybe we didn't hear everything. But the one question I would like to ask is, who is the biggest star you have ever found? Because you've been on MTV for a while. So let it rip.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, who's the finding the star is a big task. So, I would say, I hate taking credit. I hate taking credit for Beyonce, and I hate bringing Beyonce up in any level of greatness when you ask anything about my career. I say that, and then with this caveat, early in my career, I was a casting associate, and I got to work on MTV films, and we did MTV films, like movies, and MTV did Carmen, a hip opera. And ultimately, Beyonce was cast as the lead, and I got to be the casting associate in the room the day that her and Robert Townsend had, you know, the audition. And like, what I learned so much in how Robert and how a director communicated notes to an actor, you know, what I learned so much in that experience, I call on it. I mean, maybe I was hyper aware of it because it was Beyonce, even though it was just Destiny's Child back then. There was no solo album or anything back then. In fact, there was secrecy around it because the label didn't want us to approach Beyonce about it. They weren't interested in us having her do something solo outside of Destiny's Child. That's like, you know, what are you trying to do, break up the group? So that being said, I know that experience gave Beyonce an opportunity to learn a lot about character development. And I've read her talk about how it was around that time where she started identifying and creating the sort of caricature of herself that she felt comfortable stepping into when she would perform live. And she felt like being that fabulous, you know, the Sasha Fierce version that we know her, you know, her nickname as, right, as that personality type. So it's super cool to think of being a tiny blip or anything to do with an artist like Beyonce, where you're sitting back and you're like just watching, you see it in her eyes. Actually, that's what it was. It was all in her eyes. She read the lines, and then the director turned to me. Instead of turning to her to give her performance notes, he turned to me and he said, "Look, Vinny, now I want you to get the camera about like 6 inches from her face. I want like 6 inches, 6 inch difference, so I can capture the actual eye movement, because you're just a little too far away. What I'm really doing is just looking only at her eyes. All right, so we'll have her do it. So Beyonce, whenever you're ready, and we'll do it again." And there I was to record it. And I just realized in that experience that like the artistry that I was witnessing, I mean, years later, maybe the red light and the bright light dawned on me, and I was like, oh, he was telling me about how to capture her eyes so that she knew what was important to him. So he didn't have to tell her, stop looking around the room. You're not really focused. He gave her a note without giving her the note, you know, and gave her the opportunity to give a performance that was hyper, hyper, hyper focused, as opposed to, you know, maybe what she might have done, which there may have been, you know, when you're acting, you look around the room and you're trying to think about, you know, what's next and all these sort of like, you know, whatever. So it was just super cool to see that experience. I hate saying that I had anything to do with her stardom, but in terms of seeing a star get discovered, in terms of seeing a star become a supernova, that's one story that really, really stands out big for me. She worked really hard for that, and it was a humble moment too. It was a cool moment.
That's amazing. That's humbling, very humbling, because not everyone gets to see Beyonce or Michael Jackson or, you know, anyone. You know, it's like you get those moments and you keep them really close because, yeah, you can see them in a show, you can see them on TV, but in the same breath, it's like, hello. it's a different vibe.
And at MTV, when I got to MTV, you know, in 98, 99, I didn't start watching MTV until like 1996, 1990, like 1996 is when my family, when we finally got cable, which is the year that UMTV Raps came out. And Michael Jackson had a lot to do with the programming change on MTV. So there was a relationship between his label, Sony, and MTV, that was sort of pre-existing and strong between like artist development and MTV. And it was ultimately Sony that introduced me to Mandy Moore and Mandy Moore really got her, grew her legs on MTV, so to speak, as a VJ, the same way that Ashley Simpson, you know, learned to fly and sort of like on her own and grow on her own. So it's just a really cool breeding ground for development. And I think the thing that MTV did right, or the thing that MTV did that they always do right, is they created space for the conversation. Like, you know, literally created space. 30 minutes a week, we're gonna go into this Osborne's house. 30 minutes, we're gonna, you know, with Ashton Kutcher and celebrity culture, and 30 minutes, we're gonna watch this Newlyweds of Jessica Simpson and 30, or all of the, or you can look at the culture behind the genres of shows, or the artists that have appeared on MTV and like sort of unscripted purposes. They give time.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's what they had. They had time. They had time to give. And that's like what I think we did right. Now that everyone wants everything when they want it, not when it's the right time, but when they want it, that's like this digital, you know, now you understand why TRL is no longer around, because people don't want a countdown. They want the number one video now.
Exactly.
And then after that, they want the next number one video.
Exactly. It's like a microwave society. They want all number one videos. Exactly. It's not like before, like, oh, I gotta wait till 4 o'clock to watch my favorite show. It's now like, I either want to watch it now, or I'll just record it and then I'll come back and watch it later. It's different.
It's different. And that's the cool part. That's what you're describing is like the viewer part. The other part is, back before the digital wave,
right.
You say bands waited until 4 o'clock to announce they were breaking up or reuniting, or like they waited until there was that live moment. So that's cool that you know, you don't have to wait until 3:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday to get your news out there. You now have access just at your fingertips, you know, right. To get your story, your word out there. And you don't have to come out with a whole album to be able to leverage the press to get your social call, to get your message, to get the, you know, the reason why, the purpose, you know, behind your content. You don't have to wait for those moments to be able to have that conversation. You can have that conversation ongoing. That's super cool. That's been the coolest thing about celebrities that have, I don't know, really kind of stuck out on social media, the ones that are really themselves. And it's been fun, especially over the pandemic. It's been fun kind of like really spending time with them. You really get to see who they are and how they go about their craft.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, we rediscovered talent, those celebrities too. It's crazy to think that, like, you know, Mandy Moore is on This Is Us, so you might rediscover her on TV, or you might have discovered her on Instagram from all of her content, or but there's just so many different places now to be discovered. So it's not like there's it's not like there's one platform. It's not just TV. It's not like that happens anymore. So.
Right. Wow. This was so impactful. Thank you so much, Vinny, for being here and for joining the show, shedding your light and just giving people a beacon of hope and light, just knowing that, hey, it's not the end of the road. Digital doesn't mean complete, done, finished. You can still be part of the algorithm, so to speak, and you have a voice, and now you can even speak louder than before because it's at your fingertips, like you said. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And you own it. Oof, you own it.
Exactly.
The power in owning your content, forget about it.
Right. Just like right now with Instagram, they actually said recently that it's much, they'll actually give you more credit if you post your original content than try to repurpose someone else's content and post it on your timeline. Not your story, but your posts. So it's just showing that people are more original based, and that originality and authenticity should be the focus, like the core focal point of creating value. Because when someone's looking at your content, they're not looking at what you posted, but they're looking through what you posted to create that in value that knows that, okay, this person feels this way. Okay, you know, back in the day, Facebook, you make a post and you're like, how are you feeling today? And everybody knows you're having a soggy day, or you're a sucky day, you know, or it's soggy because it's raining outside, or it's snowing, I can't get my car out, you know, it's so many different things. But now it's like, okay, this is me, 24 hours, what's next? So it's really the circle of life, and I appreciate you for bringing this back to the form of knowing that TV is not dead. Let me put it that way.
Not yet. Not yet, that's for sure. And I'm here for it, man. And any way I can help, please, you know, find me on Twitter, find me on LinkedIn. My website's vpe.tv. I try to, you know, but I love talking on Twitter and LinkedIn nonstop, so I would spend way too much time there, but I get so much back from it. So reach out and say hi.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Vinny. I appreciate you for coming and letting people know where you can be able to be found. We'll also put this in the show notes as well. And then that way a lot of people can now feel so much better, and they can feel like, okay, now I can be able to enjoy myself and be part of Vinny's world. So thank
Let's
you
do
so
it.
Much. Awesome. Thank you. I'll definitely bring you back, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome.